Hello, it's Wednesday, 20th of March. I'm Hannah Pearson. On today's show, I will be discussing all things travel and tourism in Indonesia with our guest, Pauline Sohano. So let's get started. This is the Southeast Asia Travel Show.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in. So today, we're delighted to welcome back to the show, Pauline Sohano, director of Jakarta-based Elok Tours and president of Astindo, the Indonesian Travel Agents Association, to discuss developments in travel and tourism across Indonesia, which is by some margin the largest country, the largest population, and the largest economy here in Southeast Asia. So plenty to talk about. So Pauline, thanks so much for joining us again on the show. How are you doing today? And where are you right now? Because you've been traveling a lot.
Hi, Gary. Good morning. How are you? I'm good. And actually, I'm now in Jakarta, back to my hometown. Yeah, you are right. I've been traveling a lot. So sad. It's for business trip, not for leisure, not for holiday. And tomorrow, I'll fly to your base, Kuala Lumpur.
Ah, you're coming for the Mata Fair. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Cool. So where have you been traveling lately? I've seen you, I think, on a camel. I think you've been posting lots of pictures of your travels.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, most of the time I travel for business purpose, but following the trend now, be leisure, I purposely extended my stay to explore more about the destination, see if there's any changes regarding after the pandemic. So you're right, I just ride the camel. I just came back from Jordan, a fam trip invited by the Jordan Tourism Board. The main purpose to visit this country is actually to prove to public that Jordan is safe. There's geopolitical events at neighboring countries, but overall, as tourism people, we have to support each other. This is actually the lesson that I learned recently from the 7th Summit of Travel Agencies Associations held at Granada, November 2023. Current geopolitical environment should not stop us from traveling or sending tourists to those safe countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I saw that you were in Jordan, I thought I know exactly why, because the Adventure Travel Trade Association, our CEO Shannon, and a few of our other senior team, our board members, were also invited by Jordan Tourism Board for that same purpose, right? To really shine a light on the fact that it's safe, because a lot of those neighboring countries, Egypt, Jordan, they're suffering so much right now when it comes to tourism,
right.
People just not traveling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were last on the show on 17th of April, 2023. So almost a year ago now. What's changed? How's the Indonesian tourism industry changed? How's it developed? What have been some of the key takeaways that you've seen from the last year?
Well, last year, I believe we were on the right track. Both our revenue and yield increased, although we still cannot cover our loss during the 2 years pandemic. This year is a bit challenging as we are in the political year. Our sales in January this year increased 3.3%. compared to January last year. But this February 2024, our sales dropped 5.69% compared to February last year. However, if you follow our social media, you will see last year our association Astindo organized quite some travel fairs. We had our own Astindo travel fairs held twice. And then our government asked us to organize the Indonesia Aja Travel Fair. It means traveling in Indonesia only. Then the Jakarta City Tourism Office also appointed us to handle their Jakarta Travel Fair at three cities, Palembang, Surabaya, and also Lampung. From one travel fair to another travel fair, we learned a big lesson that big promo or good discount, huge discount, is not good enough unless you have the good products.
That's interesting. So you referenced there a slow start to the year because of the election, the presidential election back in February. How do you see that look for the rest of the year? You mentioned there that the sales were down. Do you think that will come back over the rest of the year? Are you positive about 2024?
Well, as the president of the travel association, of course, I will echo my strong optimism all the time, even during the pandemic as well, because I have to boost our members' energy. But looking at the current global situation, slow economic growth, recession, lesser government incentive, especially for those the middle class population, I think it will take longer time for us, for Indonesia tourism, to recover as good as in 2019.
That's interesting. I love that with the two hats on. We always want to be optimistic, but of course there's that realistic side, and I'm sure that that political impact, you say, not only in Indonesia but that the wider geopolitics is no doubt kind of impacting on that appetite for travel. In general, then, what are some of the key areas for future development that you think need to be addressed for the Indonesian travel and tourism sector?
I think link and match among the tourism stakeholders and government as well. Because sometimes, not sometimes, but most of the time, whenever government took some decisions, their study is always based on the paper from the academies, not from the industry. True, we have the new, but not new actually, but it's a confederation of Indonesia tourism associations. So it's the members are the tourism stakeholders, Astindo, and then the Indonesia Hotel Association, Indonesia Recreation Center Association, where I also serve as SekJen. We address some tourism related issues to the government. So that day they increase the tax, suddenly they increase the tax, the holiday tax, the leisure tax. Then we fight with the government regarding this issue.
It's an interesting point, Pauline. When you were on the show last year, which is almost a year ago now, we talked quite a lot about the development of domestic tourism because it has such a big population. There is such huge opportunities in domestic tourism. And it seems that the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is focusing its strategy quite a lot on domestic tourism and in some ways trying to discourage outbound tourism. How is that seen in the travel trade? What's the view on that?
I believe that's what their task that's their task to do promote to do promotion for Indonesian tourism, to promote our country, and we cannot blame them at all. However, as the travel agents, we always encourage them. We strongly encourage them not to give any negative comment about the outbound tourism because that's our life. At the end of the day, it's always about the reciprocal. Airlines, except our flag carrier Garuda, will only fly between the countries whenever they have the potential passengers from both legs, inbound and outbound. I still remember, even before the pandemic, Cathay Pacific flew from Medan to Hong Kong. Then it stopped. They stopped operating this flight because there's no inbound passengers from Hong Kong to Medan. Medan, Hong Kong, as outbound leg, was always full, but from Hong Kong to Medan, the seat occupancy is less than 50%. So that's why they stopped the flight. So I told the Ministry of Tourism as well, as long as you have the direct flight, of course, the country like I Macau promoting the destination. And also we have to do the same thing, promoting Indonesia to Macau and the greater area.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you kind of compare, let's say, Indonesia to Japan, right? Because Japan, they have really low outbound travel at the moment. Everyone wants to go into Japan. But the government, like you say, it's about this reciprocity for flights. The government knows that they also have to kind of try to stimulate that outbound desire for Japan as well, because otherwise, airlines are not going to operate those routes, or they're going to be operating them half empty. So it's really, for me, it's fascinating how these two countries are completely different. Of course, Indonesia, you've got so many million people to support that domestic tourism industry. So you're perhaps in a more privileged position of not being quite so reliant on inbound tourism. The other move that I found really interesting, and this came into effect, didn't it? I think just last week, was the fact that Indonesia implemented this import limit for souvenirs purchased overseas. And I know Indonesian shoppers, well, Indonesians love to shop. when they go overseas, as a lot of Southeast Asians do. And there's some quite harsh limits. Maybe you can you explain a little bit more and whether you think that's going to impact your tour packages as well? Is this something agents are worried about?
Actually, it's because Indonesia has a lot of families. We have auntie, uncles, cousins, nephew, niece, grandparents, parents, and then we have a lot of families. So that's why we love to shop, to bring something, souvenirs for them. But I believe this will not change the outbound Indonesia travelers pattern, especially for those who are real travelers, both business and leisure, I mean. But yes, for those, the Just Tip, Jasa Titip. It's an entrusted goods service shoppers. So they buy for the others and then they mark up their yield to sell on online or from the social media. They purchase stuff from overseas, brought back to Indonesia and sell it through the social media platform or offline, not paying any tax. So end up, those retailers, shops, shopping malls are suffer. They're quiet and got less visitors. So I believe the government step for doing this is to ban this kind of Just Tip.
I get it. I know what you mean.
Hopefully,
yeah.
But hopefully, because of this, because they limit the import goods, so they will buy more tickets, so they have to travel more in order to get more stuff from overseas.
I love the optimism.
Let's go back to your previous point about promoting Indonesia as a destination. Uh-huh. And you know, we heard quite a lot 3 or 4 years ago about these 5 super priority destinations. Uh-huh. Now, the international media takes that as being promoted just to the international market, but also those destinations are being promoted domestically to domestic tourists. But it seems to have gone a little bit quiet. Can you tell us, firstly, tell us what those 5 destinations are? And you know, what's the current status?
Okay, these 5 super priority destinations, name it Lake Toba, Jogja Solo, which is Borobudur Temple there, and then Mandalika in Lombok, Komodo Labuan Bajo, and the last one is Likupang in North Sulawesi. So these 5 super priority destinations, actually, our government put a lot of effort, put a lot of budget to develop these 5 areas. Now they are doing a lot of events, especially at Lake Toba. They have the aqua bike powerboat, F1 powerboat events. And then Jogja Solo, you know, Borobudur Temple now become, they aim to make Borobudur as the center of Buddha. And then in Mandalika, they have the F1, the MotoGP Mandalika. Also at Labuan Bajo, they make a very huge event for the ASEAN presidents last year. So I think at least until this November, they will still focus on these 5 super priority destinations. You can see as well during the Indonesia Tourism Expo, the ITB Berlin, WTM London, they always put these 5 super priority destinations as their main focus. So they invite more travel agents, tourism stakeholders, hotels, resort, attraction from these 5 super priority destinations to attend the expo. Today we will listen to the announcement of the new president and his vision. So we hope whoever win the battle will still focusing not only to these 5 super priority destinations, but of course to the tourism development.
Yeah, you must be waiting for that with really, exactly. Cross. Fingers crossed, seeing what's going to happen, and fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything crossed that tourism continues to be supported and funded and seen as a vital part of the economy. Yeah. So last year, you were talking about airfares and how that was really a key factor in destination choice for Indonesian travelers. Is that still the case in 2024?
Well, for overseas, Indonesia start to get used to it. In fact, we have more choices for international routings. So for international airfares, I think Indonesians now already quite stable. But the main problem now is the domestic routing. Can you imagine the air ticket fare from Jakarta to Batam is even more expensive compared to Jakarta to Singapore or Jakarta to KL? So yesterday we just checked the airfare. Jakarta to Batam, it cost us like 800,000 rupiah, means like around 80 Singapore dollars. But then from Jakarta to Singapore or Jakarta to KL one way, it's only about 35 to 40 Singapore dollars. So we just make joke to we just joking to our customers. So how about if you want to fly to Batam, you go to Singapore first, then you black
The
from
ferry.
Singapore to Batam, you come by ferry.
Fantastic. Yeah, baby. That's the new
Even
route.
From Denpasar to Perth, it's cheaper compared to Jakarta to Manado. Yeah, but the distance is quite far, but Jakarta to Manado is about 5 hours, but it doesn't help to boost the domestic travels.
Yeah. So
That's
generally
right.
On an international level, Pauline, you know, a couple of years ago when Southeast Asia was reopening, and then, you know, for 6, 8, maybe 12 months after that, we saw really, really high fares as demand and supply sort of recalibrated. Generally, are you seeing outbound fares moderate, or does it really depend on which destination?
Moderate. And Indonesians already get used with that standard. So say like Singapore, Jakarta to Singapore, previously before the pandemic, it used to be like 300 Singapore dollars. But now people already can accept there. If there's no promotion, then they have to pay like about 480 Singapore dollars or 550 Singapore dollars by full service carrier. So they already can accept it. Last time, previously before the pandemic, because the airfare is standard airfare is about 300 to 380 Singapore dollars. So they will not pay for 550 Singapore dollars only going to Singapore. But now, because of the pandemic, after the pandemic, the air ticket fare is increasing. So they already can accept that price.
That's interesting. Yeah. So it's just that changes. I mean, Gary and I were talking about this on our podcast episode last week, and just about everything is getting more expensive anyway. And you know, perhaps then people are getting used to it, which I suppose is good and bad. Right. Thinking about outbound travel and sticking with that, I wanted to ask you about Saudi Arabia, because of course, you know, Indonesia to Saudi Arabia, if you're talking about Hajj, it's like the largest country, right? They get the largest quota. And they're certainly just in general kind of pursuing that Indonesian outbound market. And they call it what, that Umrah plus. So essentially they have the pilgrimage, the Umrah part of it, and then they add on, you know, touring around to leisure destinations. Are you seeing that being successful at the moment?
For Indonesians, I can say that this travel pattern, Umrah plus, is one of the most sellable product. In the market, especially when Saudi Arabia is the visa process. So last year, Saudi Arabia Airlines held their single travel fair. We were very pessimistic about how can we sell this Saudi Arabia single airlines during a travel fair. Yes, of course, they want to promote Saudi Arabia as the leisure destination. They are now open not only for Muslim, not only for Umrah, but also for the leisure, for the non-Muslim tourists. But surprisingly, the crowd was there. So they're very excited. So this Saudi Arabia Airlines promoting the good deals for Europe destination, US destination. And in addition, they offer that the ease of the visa process for transiting in Saudi Arabia, to have the city tour, to have the transit tours in Saudi Arabia. So I can say this travel pattern is one of the most sellable product in the market.
Interesting. Moving into market competition, Pauline, Indonesia, it's quite unique in the region, really. It has a very large homegrown OTAs, which we don't really have in many of the other countries. You think of Traveloka, you think of Ticket.com. Now, these are your direct competitors. How is the market recalibrating in terms of agencies and OTAs after the pandemic?
This is a very bad impact for travel agents, actually, because this OTA, you know, they burn the money in order to grab the customers, to give more discounts. I always remind our members that we have to fit our travel consultants, our human resources with good knowledge, train them so customers will find their traveling solution by contacting the travel agents. Travel agents is a one-stop shopping solution. OTA will not tell you about the regulation, transit rules, connecting time, etc. Actually, they're still in the market, but their market, the market share doesn't grow. So I keep telling our members as well, because some things happened during the pandemic, after a post-pandemic. So say like whenever the passengers, the customers purchase the air ticket through the OTA, they don't know about the visa regulation at all. So one of the most popular routing going, one of the most popular destination, say Japan, the OTAs show to the customers, the cheapest one is transiting in Taipei, flying by EVA Air or China Airlines. But while transiting in Taipei, it's not a connecting flight. They have to overnight, one night in Taipei. So happened, a lot of passengers purchased this routing, this air ticket by EVA Air or China Airlines, Jakarta, Taipei, Taipei to Tokyo, or Taipei to Osaka. They have to overnight in Taipei. They thought the regulation is if you have the Japan visa, then you can apply the Taiwan visa free, Taiwan visa waiver. But they don't know that you can only use this Taiwan visa waiver only if you already use the Japan visa. So whenever they depart from Jakarta to Taipei, Taipei to Japan, they denied boarding in Jakarta because this visa is not valid yet. This Taiwan visa waiver is not valid yet. The thing is because the passengers didn't read. Whenever they stop at Taipei, they will arrive at Taipei Taoyuan Airport. But while they have to overnight in Taipei for one night, tomorrow they have to fly from the other airport, Chungshan Airport, Taipei Chungshan Airport. Means they have to apply the visa to transit in Taipei. So because of this case, a lot of our people, Indonesian people, they mentioned that, okay, you have to read. The good thing is Indonesians are lazy to read. So it's a good point for travel agents. We still have the chance to sell, especially to those difficult destinations.
I guess that's the only bright side of Indonesia, always having to apply for visas then. It can support the travel
agents. Yeah, because
agents.
We have a very less powerful passport.
So I wanted to talk, we talked planes. I wanted to talk trains with you because, of course, you've had the Whoosh train launch between Jakarta and Bandung. I saw that Astindo are partnering with Indonesian Railways. So how do you see train travel and kind of developing over the next year?
Well, you are very updated with the current news. It's just 2 days ago we had a cooperation with the Indonesian Railways. Since this high-speed train was launched, traffic to Bandung increase, and it's good for the car rental company, transportation companies. Lots of customers now, they rent a car to pick them up from the train station to the Bandung for city tours or for the business trip. In addition, we also see new demands, especially from those ASEAN countries to try this high-speed rail. Regarding our collaboration with the Indonesian Railways, we actually want to educate people from the beginning. When you book the travel agent service, you book the tour package, you will save your time and experience more things. Because we saw during our The Indonesia Aja Travel Fair, where the Indonesian Railways company also participate as exhibitors, a long queue at their booth. So a lot of people, a lot of Indonesian people, they want to buy the air ticket, they want to buy these rail tickets, but after that, that's all. After they bought the rail tickets, they don't go to the travel agents to ask any tour package. Different with the air ticket. Whenever people purchase the air ticket, they will start to ask about the hotels, about the tour package, about the land arrangement. Well, whenever they bought the rail tickets, that's it. That's all. They will just go by themselves. So by collaborating with Indonesian Railways, they also have the platform. We want to educate these people to, okay, please check. We also have the affordable tour package, not only for those high-end or middle-up customers, but also for the middle low customers. We have those affordable walking trip, tour package, and the other things.
Just on that point, that's fascinating, the wrap that you gave us there, Pauline. Buying tickets for the Whoosh train, can you buy them a long time in advance? I know, for example, in Laos, when the railway opened, there was a lot of confusion that you couldn't buy tickets more than about 3 days in advance. For Whoosh, can you buy and plan your trip, you know, a couple of months in advance or something like that?
Yeah, I believe the ticket is available for up to 60 days in advance for the Whoosh train. And the price is actually different. So they have the different price for the weekdays and also for the weekends. For the weekdays, of course, it's cheaper. So they call it Senin Kamis, Monday to Thursday. You know, Hana, in Muslim, they have the Senin Kamis post fasting, Monday and Thursday fasting. So they call it Senin Kamis, the Monday to Thursday promotion. The price is going to be cheaper for the weekdays.
Can't wait to get on that train. I'm really looking forward to coming back to Jakarta at some time and riding it. So, Pauline, let's talk about Astindo. You just had your travel fair not long ago. Tell us a little bit more about that. Which were the hot destinations? And how do you see travel fairs sort of playing a role in this new era of travel?
The result has not come out yet, but from what I see, I can see Japan is still popular. Japan, China, Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, Europe, and also cruise. I can say that our travel fair is one of the largest in terms of the exhibitors. We have multi-airlines, multi-destinations, and also supported by our leading members too. Some stakeholders really put their best effort to create the huge sales during our fairs by giving a very, very good deals, special deals. For example, like Resort World Cruise, they launch a very good deal for their first ever ex-Jakarta ship. So they have the, you know, Resort World One. They will relocate from Hong Kong to Jakarta. And during this holiday season, school holiday season, June to July, this Resort World One will sail from Jakarta to Singapore, Port Klang, and back to Jakarta. It's a 6 days, 6 days, 5 nights sailing. But the price, can you imagine? It's only 500 start from 500 Singapore dollars per person, 6 days, 5 nights. So it's very cheap and it sells like peanuts. It sells like peanuts during our travel fair.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to get to Mata Fair on Friday and see what the offers are there. And talking now, you know, Lebaran's coming up, Eid. The government seems to be super optimistic that there's going to be more domestic tourists than ever over this period. What's your take?
Well, Lebaran, this Hari Raya Lebaran has been always being our peak season. And as the domestic air ticket fares are still very high, the movement of these travelers are limited to within the island only. Our current president, since his first term, really focused on developing the new airports, new seaports, toll routes. So I believe this will ease the intra-city trip. So yeah, I can say this Lebaran gonna be hectic, especially for intra-Jawa, intra-Sumatra, and intra-Sulawesi, where the base of the base for this Muslim people. And Jakarta, of course, will be very quiet, and this is the best time for Jakarta actually to avoid the air pollution, to avoid the traffic, the bad traffic jam.
It's just the same in Kuala Lumpur when it's Chinese New Year or Hari Raya. Everybody clears out, and it's my favorite time to be in the city for sure.
Yeah, so that's why I always stay in Jakarta during the Lebaran holiday.
Well, you're everywhere anyway, so you need a break, I'm sure. So with that, thank you so much, Pauline, for coming on the show. I think you've given us some really interesting insights into what's going on in Indonesia. And that brings the show to a close for this week. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And don't forget to send us your thoughts and comments on anything we discussed or anything we missed out. You can drop us a message on our LinkedIn page at the Southeast Asia Travel Show.
Yeah, I'd also like to just add to Hannah's thoughts there, but thanks very much to Pauline for coming on the show. It's always fascinating to hear a deep dive into the Indonesian market, and we look forward to the next time you're on the show, Pauline. As always, you can catch up with the Southeast Asia Travel Show's full back catalogue on our website, the seasiatravelshow.com, and you can find us on any international podcast platform.
So that's a wrap for today, but we'll be back next week to talk more travel and tourism in Southeast Asia with another special guest. See you then.